Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show. Our guest today is our good friend Jason Leopold. He's the author of the books Off the Record, The Other Abu Zubaydah, and News Junkie. Of course, he writes for Vice. And this one is for Al Jazeera, America.AlJazeera.com, written way back in June of 2014, actually, is going to be the story we're talking about today. But it's relevant because of the new news and all of this and that. Welcome back to the show, Jason. How are you?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks. And just as a note, the story you're referring to in Al Jazeera about Sabrina D'Souza, I've actually written some follow-up stories about her for Vice News.
Oh, okay.
Over the past few weeks. In fact, I also produced a documentary about her case, her efforts to clear her name, over here at Vice News.
I'm way behind on your work then. I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay. We started out at Al Jazeera America and just kind of followed it along as I made my way here. And lots to talk about.
Well, and I think this Al Jazeera piece, I'm pretty sure I interviewed you about it at the time. I certainly remember reading about it, and it's a very important story. So anyway, I'm sorry. Let me shut up and let you tell the story to the people about what happened here and what's her role in it and what the hell is going on and why anybody cares.
Sure. Well, you know, this is a story about a rendition, a notorious rendition that took place in February of 2003 in Milan, a rendition that was jointly conducted it was actually conducted by the CIA with the cooperation of Italian intelligence services and Italian police. It was the rendition of a radical cleric known as Abu Omar, whose fiery anti-American speeches after 9/11, you know, caught the attention of the CIA. He was rendered to Egypt. He's an Egyptian, and he said that he was brutally tortured there in Egypt. He was released sometime later, gave an account of what took place, but he was also under investigation in Italy, and under investigation for what was believed at the time to be his efforts in recruiting jihadists. That's how the Italian authorities described it. Jihadists to go over to Afghanistan and Iraq to, you know, fight Americans. Italian authorities undertook an investigation into his disappearance. What they found was that this was a rendition conducted illegally. You know, they refer the lead prosecutor in the case called it a kidnapping. Violated Italy's sovereignty, and that 26 Americans, most of whom are CIA officers, were responsible for it. They were all later indicted, prosecuted, and convicted for this rendition. One of those officers...
In absentia, right.
In absentia, right. Yes. None of them ever served any jail time. One of the officers... is a woman named Sabrina D'Souza. She has been, for the past 10 years, trying to clear her name for being tagged in this rendition. She said she had nothing to do with it. She was a translator between the Italians and the CIA snatch team early on. But then was later what she said, you know, kind of cut out of the operation. And on the day that it took place, she was chaperoning a ski trip for her son, for which she says she can prove with receipts and other evidence. But it became, this rendition just became a huge, huge embarrassment for, you know, for the U.S., who to this day does not acknowledge that it even took place, and inflamed tensions between, the U.S. and Italy.
Mm-hmm.
In her quest to clear her name, Sabrina D'Souza, who has since resigned from the CIA, and by the way, she was also operating under diplomatic cover when she was working in Italy, so she was officially listed as a State Department employee. But in her quest to clear her name, she has kind of, disclosing some information, you know, over the years about, you know, what took place, and why it took place, and raising some questions about the fact that it was, you know, or declaring that it was illegal. And so in her effort to clear her name, she took off last year for Portugal. She happens to hold dual citizenship. She has she's a Portuguese U.S. citizen. And she took off for Portugal in hopes of hooking up with some human rights lawyers and a member of European Parliament who's been very, very outspoken about Europe's role in the CIA's rendition program. That's Ana Gomes. And I met with her out in Portugal, along with some members of our news team here. We filmed a documentary with her about her efforts, what she was trying to do to clear her name. A few days after we met with her, she went, and by the way, I'm sorry to digress a moment. There's an active European arrest warrant out for her and all of the other CIA officers who were indicted. So she traveled to Portugal through Morocco. So, knowing that there was this European arrest warrant. After I met with her, in Portugal, she went to the airport there in Lisbon and, was getting ready to board a plane to visit her mother in India, for her birthday. And, she was detained. Forced to, turn over her passport, while Portuguese judge determined whether or not she should be extradited to Italy, to serve a sentence. She was sentenced in absentia to 7 years in prison on kidnapping charges. And, what happened was last week, a judge, in this case, decided that, yes, Sabrina D'Souza, despite the fact that she's also a Portuguese citizen, needs to be extradited to Italy. And that is basically, you know, what's happening now. What was very interesting, by the way, is out of the blue, right around Christmas time, some news broke that the president of Italy was going to pardon, gave a full pardon to one of the CIA officers who was involved in this rendition. This just came out of the blue. No one expected it. And gave a partial pardon, basically, which amounted to a reduced sentence, to the CIA station chief in Milan. His name is Robert Lady, who was sentenced to, I believe, 9 years, and that was reduced to 7. So this is really kind of, surfacing. On the surface, it's this case, which is, you know, going on 13, next month will be, it's 13 years old. This case is still a major source of strife between the U.S. and Italy, and now Portugal's involved. And now with the ruling that Sabrina D'Souza should be extradited to Italy, it threatens to reveal new information about exactly what happened.
All right. Well, so we'll stop right there and take this break. And then when we get back, I guess we'll pick it up from there. And then follow-up questions. It's the great journalist Jason Leopold on the story of Sabrina D'Souza, the CIA officer being extradited to Italy to serve time for conspiracy to torture a man. Well, kidnap him. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the great libertarian social network. They've got all the social media bells and whistles. Plus, you get your own publishing site, and there are classes, shows, books, and resources of all kinds. and I host two shows on Liberty.me. Eye on the Empire with Liberty.me's Chief Liberty Officer Jeffrey Tucker every other Tuesday, and The Future of Freedom with FFF founder and president Jacob Hornberger every Thursday night, both at 8 Eastern. When you sign up, add me as a friend on there. ScottHorton.Liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. Hey, all, Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at patreon.com/ScottHortonShow, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/ScottHortonShow. And thanks, y'all. All right, well, before the show, I was in a hurry to reread the one I'd read before from a long time ago, and it escaped my attention that, of course, Jason has stayed on this story all along. If I can try to sum it up very quickly here, the CIA kidnapped this guy, Abu Omar, in Italy back in, 2003, and she was just barely in on it, but indicted with the rest of them. And in trying to clear her own name, she basically blew the whistle on the CIA guys who put her up to it and that she worked with on the thing. And but then she made what seems like, and I'm sorry, you can get back to your train of thought after the break if you can remember where we were. But I'm curious, Jason Leopold, who's written a ton of this for ViceNews.com, Sabrina D'Souza is her name. Why did she go to Portugal? I mean, obviously she had reason to go to Portugal, but didn't she have a lot of reason to not go to Portugal? I mean, sorry, Mom, I'd like to hug you, but we got Skype. But if I go there, they're going to put me in prison.
Yeah, well, you know, I asked her about that. And in the when she was detained in the last October, and I wrote about it, you know, I asked her that question. She said that she knew she was taking a risk. She was well aware of it. But she wants to, you know, what she said, she wants to live freely again. She actually wanted to settle in Portugal, completely disillusioned with, you know, with the U.S., with the way she's been treated by the U.S. government. You know, she sued the State Department, for failing to invoke diplomatic immunity, which she said she was entitled to. So she wanted to, settle down in Portugal. She was well aware of the risk that she was taking. But she also had a plan. Her plan was to work with a member of European Parliament in Portugal, in an effort to clear her name. And, you know, let me just say that this prosecution, although it was in absentia, remains to this day the only successful prosecution, mm-hmm. the only prosecution involving CIA officers in connection with the, you know, so-called rendition detention and interrogation program. Mm-hmm. And next month, the president of Italy is coming to the U.S. to meet with President Obama. And it's my understanding that this issue, this rendition, and Sabrina D'Souza's case, will be one of the topics to discuss. So, her years-long effort, decade-long effort to clear her name may actually pay off, and she may actually end up with that pardon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that, politically speaking, the Italians, if she can play it right, they might like to use her to make a point against the rest, that, like, no, we're not going to go after the least involved of the involved here at the expense of the others. But then again, like you're saying, they've already made a deal to let the station chief and the top leaders of the plot go free, right? So,
yeah, well, you know, the station chief, he's not exactly free. I mean, he had, this was a guy who also wanted to, you know, settle down in Italy. He had a villa there that was seized. The other one who was, the woman who was, who did receive a full pardon, you know, basically what the president of Italy said in a statement, she wasn't really involved. What was really interesting about the, you know, rationale behind coming out for these, you know, announcing these pardons now, the president of Italy said that, President Obama ended the extraordinary rendition program, and that's why he's doing it. That's not exactly true. We still, you know, this administration under, you know, it's not the same the way that, you know, George W. Bush did it.
Well,
still,
now stop for a second here, because I think people may not know the difference between this, that, and the other thing. There's a difference between the CIA and their own black sites in different countries torturing people, and whereas the Extraordinary Rendition Program means something else.
True.
It means exporting them to third countries to be tortured on our behalf, basically.
Right. That's right. And yes, there's a major difference.
And I'm not saying that the CIA is definitely not torturing somebody at black sites somewhere, because I don't know that that's true. All I'm saying is that I'm trying to make sure that everybody's on the same page what we are talking about here.
Right. There is a difference between, you know, what's called extraordinary rendition and just rendition. So it's interesting. What's amazing, Scott, is that this case, you know, this issue about, the rendition of this cleric, has, you know, been written about extensively, for years, for 13 years. Sabrina D'Souza shared a number of documents with me, that she's obtained actually through the Freedom of Information Act and, in the form of letters, basically showing that, the CIA and intelligence officials told her to, you know, not worry. Nothing will ever happen to her. Just sit tight and, this thing will blow over. And, you know, they were wrong, you know, on all counts. And then when it came down to, you know, trying to, for her at least, to get some, protection and relief, she feels that she was thrown under the bus. And, as I mentioned, you know, when I was in Portugal, last October doing this documentary with her, I mean, there was some revealing info, about what she was trying, you know, to do at this point. But, it was, although she says she knew she was taking a risk, being detained and now seeing this ruling that she should be extradited, what she says is it's completely, you know, unexpected. Her lawyer said that they're going to appeal. But obviously, you know, now that this threatens to fan the flames further, more information about the rendition could come out. She is determined to, you know, to call new witnesses, to seek a new trial. And clearly that's not something that this government, that the U.S. government, nor Italy wants to see happen, because Italy as well was, you know, as I mentioned, their own intelligence services were, you know, officers were involved in this. Again, this torture program, rendition program, 13 years later, you know, we're still confronting it. And Abu Omar himself, which is very, what's very interesting is when I spoke to the prosecutor who mounted, you know, who mounted this prosecution and took on this case, you know, what he said to me was, you know, that, if the CIA did not kidnap Abu Omar, Abu Omar would be in jail today. He would be in jail, on terrorism. He would be convicted on terrorism charges. And, the fact that, you know, that the CIA rendered him, kidnapped him, and brought him over to Egypt, it actually derailed the prosecution of other people who were working with Abu Omar that they were, you know, that they were investigating. It's a very, very complicated, tangled web this post 9/11 fear where that the fallout just, you know, continues.
Yeah.
Oh, and what I was going to mention is that Abu Omar, he was also indicted and convicted in absentia on those terrorism charges from back in 2003. But he's now suing Italy at the European Court of Human Rights, and there was a hearing in his case last year. Because basically what he's saying is that he has not been made whole. He's not been compensated for his suffering. And, an Italian court, in addition to agreeing that, you know, yes, he's prosecuted in absentia, also awarded him, 1 million euros. So So he's saying that he hasn't been paid yet. So that's, we're expecting a decision out of the European Court of Human Rights on that soon as well. So as you can tell, very complicated case here, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many different points to make here, and we're almost out of time, but it seems like something really important and something that you highlight in at least that year and a half old Al Jazeera article here was about just how hard, and I think you may have mentioned this a minute ago, just how hard she tried to go through the channels with all her whistleblowing, just like you're supposed to do when a whistleblower blows a whistle and everybody points their finger and accuses them of not doing it the right way. Boy, oh boy, did she try to go and check off every box and still got completely screwed in favor of her bosses.
Indeed.
Anyway, and people can read that one. That's exclusive Scapegoating, the Whistleblower. That's at Al Jazeera America. But then look at Jason Leopold's great Sabrina D'Souza archive. There's quite a few video and written pieces here at Vice.com, news.vice.com. Thanks, Jason. You're great.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
See y'all tomorrow. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new ebook by longtime Future Freedom author Scott McPherson, Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. This is the definitive principled case in favor of gun rights and against gun control. America is exceptional. Here the people come first, and we refuse to allow the state a monopoly on firearms. Our liberty depends on it. Get Scott McPherson's Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms on Kindle at Amazon.com today. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment, MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to mpvengineering.com.